I was just thinking as that piano duet was coming forward that how exciting it is to see that word trust, only trust him. And then in the whole idea of Abraham's journey, his call on his life and his journey out in following the Lord, it centered in trust. And that trust, that obedience, that trust that God was doing what he would say, that trust was then in we go from chapter 12 of Genesis to the 15th chapter, and then in the 6th verse of chapter 15, it says that it was reckoned, it was imputed to him as faith, as righteousness, his trust, his faith in the Lord. And I can't help but wonder as we come to these chapters today, chapter 12 we'll be looking at just in review, but then we'll be going to chapter 15 as we move on beyond that first verse where we ended last week. But we come face to face with the reality that it is, after all, God's imputed righteousness to man which enables him to stand before Almighty God. This has nothing to do with what we do in our works, but as we trust what God says, as we trust him, we put our faith in him. And so there's a strong emphasis today on Abraham's trusting in the Lord. I'm going to dismiss kids for junior church at this time, ages 4 through 4th grade. And the rest of you, if you would go to the 15th chapter, remembering, I hope you remember something of chapter 12. We'll go back there in just a few moments. But I want us to look at these first 6 verses of chapter 15, and remember that it is built upon what we see in chapter 12 as Abram is called forth to follow Almighty God. And it's in his doing, in his trusting God to the point where his life began to be to reveal this trust in God that we see him truly experiencing that spiritual life in his walk. And so look at 15 of Genesis, and we'll begin at verse 1. This has to do with the promise that he was given to Abram. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Last time we met in this portion of Scripture, we dealt with that verse. We talked about the fact that the great I Am has given many men this marvelous word, "Fear not, I am thy shield." And he does this for Abram, and he says, "I am thy exceeding great reward." You know, in one of the songs that we sang, we sang, "We will fix our eyes on him, our soul's reward." This comes right out of the Scripture. So we were singing that truth that comes from God's word. Because here he says, "I'm thy shield and I'm thy exceeding great reward." And we have it there. We sang it already. So our hearts are settled in. Our minds are settled in. We are looking to understand what the Lord Jesus would have to say to it, what our God would have to say to us. And here he leads us off with saying these words, "I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward," to this man Abram, who he had put some demands on his life as Abram comes to obey him. Verse 2, "And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house, or my servant, is this Eliezer of Damascus." Now remember, he had been given promises of God about becoming a great nation, becoming the father of nations. And so he had an understanding that God was promising him that through his body he would have heirs. And yet he is at that point now where God is speaking to him again, and he's trying to get that assurance that we all need from time to time in our spiritual walk, and God gives him the assurance. And Abram said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars." In other words, give me a number of those stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. The word of the Lord came to this man. It looked hopeless as far as his age and the age of his wife. He was going on 100 years. And Sarah wasn't far behind. And he hears God assuring him of what he had told him in chapter 12. So God is assuring this man who was his by that time. And verse 6 tells us this, and he believed in the Lord. Now, I believe that this started way back in chapter 12. He believed in the Lord, and he, God, counted it unto him for righteousness. In other words, he was saying to us, this man is my child, my very own. And I'm counting his belief, I'm counting his trust as righteousness, counting it for righteousness. You see, faith is not something new in the dispensation of grace, of this dispensation of our lives. God's grace has been active all through the Word of God, and he demands faith in our lives. And that's what it's all about today, because I would say, well, if there's no faith, there's not going to be any kind of future as far as we are concerned, as far as followers of the Lord God. And this morning, the message, title of the message, What's in Your Future? And it comes right out of this portion of Scripture. And I want you to go back now to chapter 12, if you would. And I just want to just very briefly review what we had talked about. The call of Abram by Almighty God in that day in chapter 12. When we look at chapter 12, we hear him, he's speaking to Abram. And he's saying, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now God had initiated this blessing upon this man who was trusting in him. He was believing in him. And we find out in chapter 15 in verse 6 that he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And so what we see happening in this man's life, we see going on in chapter 15, after there had been a period of time, and Abram was faithfully following the Lord, and God had brought into this young believer's life many things. In fact, he had gone out with the household servants or those who belonged to his household, and they were trained military, over 300 and some of them, and they go out and they chase down this king who had come, and he had taken Lot and his family. Boy, I tell you what, Lot had a lot going for him, didn't he? Here he is, we see him here, and this is before we see the destruction of Sodom. And the king of Sodom comes out when Abram brings back all the people that have been taken from the king of Sodom and all his those people under his reign, all the goods, all the spoils of war, and Abram brings them back. And so he brings Lot back with him as well. And the king wants to, as we go into the 14th chapter, the end of the 14th chapter, Abram is there and he brings all the goods and all the people back, and the king of Salem comes out. This is a defeated king, but he comes back, he comes out and he meets the fellow and he says, I want to give you, and he wants to just heap the honors and the wealth upon Abram. And Abraham says, no, I promise God I would not receive anything from anybody, so that no one could say, I made you great. Now, in God's scheme of things, this is a beautiful picture of a man recognizing that it is by God's grace, absolutely, nothing that he has done, nothing that anybody else has poured into his life, but all of what God has done in Abram's life has brought him to that place of sonship and friendship with Almighty God. His faith was accounted as righteousness. His obedience by trusting God was counted as righteousness before Almighty God. Back here in the 12th chapter, in that first one, we see the promise. He promised him a new land. In fact, it's kind of a sevenfold blessing that God gives him, promises. And yet we find in 15 that this man, Abram, who in many ways we see ourselves in, because he is a mortal man, we see him through all of the chapters to come. We see just how weak a person he is. We see how scheming he can be. And yet we see God in his mercy and his grace looking down upon him. And because of the man's trust, his belief in his God, God looks upon him and sees righteousness. It's a picture of the Christian today. Those who have trusted Christ, has believed in Christ, the finished work of the cross. And here we have Abram, and he is now in chapter 15, and he needs assurance. How many times do you need to be assured that God is really going to do what he says he's going to do? If you're like I am, there are many times in my life I open the Word of God and say, Lord God, in your mercy, give me a promise. Let me see your faithfulness. Does he do it? Yes, he does. In my Bible reading, I come across time after time after time how God in his grace and his mercy looks down upon his children, and he meets them where they are, and he meets them and he fulfills his great promises in their lives. If you're here today and you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a child of God, you're here by the promise of God. And ultimately, we look forward to that marvelous promise to be like Jesus one of these days, fully like him. Anyway, Abraham back here in chapter 12 finds these marvelous promises being poured out upon him. The promise that he'd have many descendants and be a blessing in verse 2. In verse 3, he was promised protection from enemies for him, not only for him, but also for his family. It's all about family with Abram. And we see that Abram steps out in faith in God's promises. He steps out in faith. That's what makes me turn then automatically to chapter 15, verse 6, and see how he is accounted righteous. That righteousness is his faith, not his ability, not his wealth. It's his trust, his faith in God. And the word says here, it says Abram stepped out and he departed and he began this very dynamic adventure of faith that we see. And if you follow it through, if you're like I am, you begin here in 12 and you just want to keep going on. And you see you see it all the way through to the end of Abram's life. And you see how the glorious promise of God is then carried on through God's instrument, the seed of Abram. Now, ultimately, the seed is Jesus Christ. Do you realize it? It's Father Abraham. And so he departs. He becomes just one of these men who goes on with life, in the business of life, and he learns from God all along the way because he's nothing but weak flesh, like you, like I. Weakness, flesh. Now, I would just ask you, have you begun your life of faith by trusting Christ, by receiving Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? It's his finished work on the cross, completed for you and for me. But we must have that faith. We must have that trust, just like Abraham had in the Old Testament days. Have you begun the life of faith by taking Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you entrusted your future to him? This is so important for us. We said a couple of weeks ago that based upon that reading there in the 12th chapter, that the future, as we look at Abram, the future, and he teaches us, belongs to those who place their faith in God, in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to just point out a few things. If you're there in chapter 12, the first three verses. I want you to see today, I want you to notice today that that our faith influences our family. Abraham was all Abram up there. He hasn't been named yet, Abraham. But Abram is all about his family, is about his seed, his those who would come behind him or after him, and how generation. And you notice God's promises are not for just right now. They're for the future, the coming futures. And there's going to come a time when we see this old man who has this child in his old age, seeing that young child grow up, and then finally Abraham dies. And then it's carried on, the promises are carried on through his son, through Isaac. That's the son of promise. And God makes a way that the very focus comes to Isaac, not on Ishmael, not on the many children that come to Abram after Isaac. But I want us to understand and see how our faith is going to influence our family. You say, well, Pastor, I haven't been living for the Lord very long. My family's grown, and I feel as if I have come into this so late. There's no way God will work. Trust the promises of God. You live faithfully according to the Word. You walk in the Spirit, and God will take care of your family. And I'm not predicting or prophesying that they will all come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. But if you obey God, he will give you victory in this area of witness to family. Sometimes it's the worst of our opportunities, but the worst of our experiences in witnessing. You know why? Because so often our families know all about us. They know what makes us tick. Our faith influences our family. How does it affect our family? Look at the first three the verses. You look at this, and you see that we're in chapter 12, and the first three, and I will make of thee a great nation, I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them, him that that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So we see that Abram, right from the beginning, recognizes the importance of families. That's how it was in those days. Family was everything. And the family wealth, they stayed, they remained wealthy because the family all worked together and made sure of that wealth. That was the system. And yet we have the promise that comes not only to Abram, but it comes to his family as well. The family is going to be affected, deeply affected by his faith and his faithfulness. Abram was to leave for Canaan with his family. He was told to take Sarah, his wife, and the family. He was to be a blessing to all families of the earth. God is interested in our families as well. If you go to the seventh chapter of Genesis, it has to do with Noah. I'm not going to take a lot of time to read this. But look at verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house. You know who his house was? It was his family. Nobody else would come. Thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Again, the word righteous. I've seen your righteousness. And you and your family are going to be blessed because of that righteousness. And he blessed them how? He said, you come into the ark. And God closed the door. And that ark became safety and salvation. And it becomes a type. In fact, the ark is a type of God's salvation through Jesus Christ. His family were called into the safety of the ark. What a Bible type that is, a wonderful type. You go to the New Testament in Acts 16:31, it's all about the Philippian jailer. I don't want to read it. And he was offered salvation for him, and his family responds. God says families are vital. Families are influenced by your faith, O dad, O mom, O aunt and uncle, O grandparents. Influences family. Then we go over to 15 and the third verse, we see Abram is struggling in this matter of his of belief. And I'm not saying that he's not a believer. I'm saying he's struggling with unbelief. I know that you struggle with unbelief. You know what unbelief is? Not trusting his word. Abram was struggling with unbelief over having a family. In the third verse there. And God promises him a seed. In Galatians 3:16, the Apostle Paul says that this blessed seed was Jesus Christ. Way back in Genesis, we have this beautiful picture of Jesus as the fulfillment of the promise of God. Now we know that the seed through which Christ came is Isaac, the chosen of Abram's family. And it was through his seed that the seed, Jesus Christ, came to bless the earth. And you see, in the coming of Christ as the seed, the Apostle Paul talks about it here in Galatians, we find the world blessed And that's fulfilling the promise that God gave Abram. You know, he may not have understood all of that while he was on this earth, but he understands it now. I know it. What a blessing. But he walked in belief. God said it. That became enough for him. And God had promised a seed, and the seed was Christ. And that's why we sit here today, because of the promise to our father Abram. Abraham had many sons. The little chorus goes, and I am one of them. So let's just praise the Lord. But it all starts back here. And it starts with a man who believed God. And his belief was counted as righteousness, just as your belief in the finished work of Jesus Christ is counted for righteousness for you. But we see it happening here in the Old Testament. And our faith in Christ should be examples to our families. I want you to understand this, moms and dads. You have the privilege of molding and shaping young hearts and minds, bringing to life good, righteous habits, and teaching our children to put off unrighteousness and to stay in the Word of God. Old moms and dads, well, we can have influence upon our children even to this day. You say, well, they're ungodly. Trust the Lord. Trust Him on behalf of your children. Live your life, your Christ life, so that it's seen by your family. What about your faith? Is it influencing? Is it affecting your family at all? Let's move on. I want you to see how faith affects our future. And if you look at verses 4 and 5 of chapter 15, it says, "And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir." He was saying, not a servant of your household, but the seed of your own body. A promise from God. "And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward the heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be." Thy seed. Now that's talking about Christ, ultimately. But faith affects our future. Faith affected Abram's future. What if he had not dared to embark on this adventure of faith? There wouldn't have been any completed promise, blessings to him and his family. Been a different day, a different scene. Can we miss the blessing of God? Yes, we can. He would have missed out on life's greatest adventure. What an adventure God had made available to this man. Remember, it is this man of faith who leaves Ur, who leaves his family, who leaves and takes his immediate family and goes, obedient to God. He goes. It's this man whom this son of promise, as he became, I think probably 14 or 15 years, I'm not sure how old he was, and God said, I want your son, your only son. I want you to prove you love me by offering him to myself as a sacrifice. You know the story, how it goes? and how God desired to see Abram's willingness to obey at any cost. And he walked by faith, and he believed, I think Abram was thinking, well, God can raise him up again if he's the son of promise. But I believe also he had this attitude, God will provide for us. He's promised. And of course, you know how God provided that ram caught in that thicket. And Abram was able to take that lamb and sacrifice him unto God. You know it was a joyous time going down that mountain and joining the family once again. But you see, faith assured his future. It was because of his trust. It was because of his faith that he'd be led to the promised land. It would be his faith that would enable him to have descendants who would be a blessing not only to his own tribe, but to the nations of the world, to the Gentile world as well as to that small clan. And his name would be great and remembered as it is. All these things came as assurance through God's care and his wonderful leading. And I want you to understand the scope of these blessings. He would have a son in his old age. That's part of the blessing that we see coming, the answer to the assurance that God was giving him right then. Because remember, he was faltering in some way in chapter 15 because of his old body, because of the promise of a son. And yet, how could that possibly be? But he would have, as God assured him, a son in his old age. His descendants would be as the number of the stars. Are you getting the assurance you need to walk in your faith life day by day? You can do it through the Word of God. Don't look at any other kind of truth upon this world, upon this earth. You look at the truth of God's Word. That's truth. And find assurance for your walk of faith in that. Then finally, I want us to look at this. I want you to understand. I want you to see here. I want you to just make a mental note for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of this week. I want you to notice how faith influenced or affects our fellowship with God. This is what Abraham found, and I think that we find it too. It's safe for us to say, and I would say that today, that's truth. My faith affects my fellowship with God. In fact, without that faith, there's no fellowship with God. And some of you are here today, and you don't have any kind of fellowship with God, and you're trying to make it on your own good looks, or on your own money, or on your own powerful influence in the community, but you have never, never trusted Christ personally as your Lord and Savior. And Abram's faith brought Abram into a right relationship with God. And then you know that scripture that Pastor Mark read in Romans chapter 4. Just go there quickly. I want to just run my finger under some of these wonderful, wonderful verses. Chapter 4. When you look at chapter 4, there's so much to look at, but I want you to I just want you to look at verse 3. Look at this. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience. Excuse me, I'm in the wrong chapter. Verse 3 says, for what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God. capital B in my Bible, believed God, and it was counted, it was imputed unto him for righteousness. It didn't say that he had to pay God a lot of money or do a dance in a particular way or conjure up some kind of thing. It said God, it says Abraham believed God. That's trusted God, trusted what he said. And it was counted unto him for righteousness. And then look at verse 19. Go to 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not. That's falling into unbelief. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, what God had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. It was counted for righteousness. Do you realize we walk the same walk that Abraham walked? We are justified in God's eyes by faith alone. We trust Christ. And the Bible says we're born anew. We're redeemed. We become children of God. And Abram, a sinner, was justified before God by faith. What good news this is for you, for me. It's good news. We're all sinners. Go back one chapter, Romans 3. And look at verse, yeah, and I'm not going to read it all, but it says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And then you go all the way through and you go to verse 23, where he's begun this dissertation on righteousness through faith. And it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's you, mister. That's you, miss, missus. That's each one of us in this room. What good news God has for us. Look at verse 25 of that same, and it says, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Talking about Jesus Christ. Look at verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. O sinner, oh, you who are trapped in this world of sin and woe with nothing but hell to face, God has his hand upon you and that you are hearing the good news. Listen to this. Whom God, Christ Jesus, has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. That's the kind of God we have, folks. He's a forbearing God, and maybe you've heard the gospel many times and you've never responded. Why not? Go to chapter 5, verse 8 of Romans. But God commendeth his love toward us. Listen to this. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus came to this earth and we just celebrate his coming. And he came as a little baby, and we just love that little baby idea. And yet he came, and there's a shadow of a cross over that very beautiful little manger scene, because that little baby grew in righteousness and perfection because he was God incarnate, and he is the only one that could go to the cross and take your sin and my sin, pay its penalty, shed his blood that our sins may, as Paul says, that payment may be made. He became the propitiation for our sin. Our sin's penalty paid fully. Romans 4. Those first four verses. Look, five verses. What shall we say then? That Abram our father was pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abram were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. He doesn't have anything to glory in. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. You see, if you work it, you're saved because of debt? No way. Verse 5, but to him that worketh not, in other words, you're trusting God's grace and his mercy, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. That's it. That's the good news. Look at verse 21. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. You see, being fully persuaded, Abraham was fully persuaded. Are you fully persuaded that God is able to do what he says he will do when you place your trust, when you believe in Jesus Messiah and his shed blood on Calvary? Being fully persuaded, what he had promised, he was able also to perform. First of all, I would say this to believers. Are you an example of faith to your family? Maybe you say, well, I've just come through the holidays. I need to get back on track. Well, now is the time. You go to the Lord and you bring your sin to him, confess it as sin. And he promises, oh believer, that if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That means dad and mom, you have an opportunity to get the slate clean so that you can walk by faith before your children and have an influence, a godly influence on your family. Another thing is, believer, does your faith make you confident about what you face ahead? Days ahead in America. Days ahead as we see the Bible more and more rejected and the gospel turned away. More and more as we reach old age. Or if the Lord calls us out, are you confident about your future? Should the Lord come right today? Or take you home today. And then to you who have never trusted Christ personally, on that personal level, never believed, and that active word, believe in, trusting Christ, I would say this: do you have fellowship with God through faith in Christ? And if the answer is no, then I want you to hear what Abraham, who was fully persuaded, knew God was able to perform the promises of his word, Look what he says later. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. Listen, this is the gospel. Listen to it. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. Chapter 4, verse 24, beginning. Who was delivered for our offenses. Jesus, the Lamb of God, delivered to us for our offenses, delivered to death and the crucifixion. And then raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We're so needy, folks. And in our sin and lostness, we come and recognize that it's nothing that we bring. We bring filthiness. But we come, and like Abram, we trust God. We trust his word. We put our trust in Christ, what he has done. And you can do that right now. I want you to bow your heads, if you would, everybody. Perhaps the Spirit of the Lord has spoken to your heart about being a Christian and yet not really walking in the fullness of God's Word and the fullness of the Spirit. Today, would you just take time right now before the Lord and pray and ask him, based on 1 John 1:9, as you confess your sins, that he will wipe it away. Then if you're here and you have never trusted Christ, you've never believed in Christ, would you just turn to him right now and seek him with your whole heart?